जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
थैंक यू।
राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। आई एम लुकिंग फॉर अ वर्स to Bhagavad Gita, if you don't mind. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 26 टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग प्राचीन बर्हि, द टू वर्सेस 26 एंड 27, आई बिलीव 26 इज ऑन द बोर्ड। यदात्मानम् अभिज्ञाय भगवन्तं परं गुरुं पुरुषस्तु विषजेत गुणेषु प्रकृते स्वदृक्। यदात्मानं अभिज्ञाय भगवन्तं परं गुरुं ಪುರುಷಸ್ತು ವಿಸಜ್ಜೇತ ಗುಣೇಶು ಪ್ರಕೃತೆ ಸ್ವದೃಕ್. ಯದಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಅವಿಜ್ಞಾಯ ಭಗವಂತಂ ಪರಂ ಗುರುಂ ಪುರುಷಸ್ತು ವಿಸಜ್ಜೇತ ಗುಣೇಷು ಪ್ರಕೃತೆ ಸ್ವದೃಕ್. ಯದಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಅವಿಜ್ಞಾಯ ಭಗವಂತಂ ಪರಂ ಗುರುಂ ಪುರುಷಸ್ತು ವಿಸಜ್ಜೇತ ಗುಣೇಷು ಪ್ರಕೃತೆ ಸ್ವದೃಕ್. ಯದಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಅವಿಜ್ಞಾಯ ಲೇಡೀಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್. ಯದಾತ್ಮಾನಂ ಅವಿಜ್ಞಾಯ ಭಗವಂತಂ ಪರಂ ಗುರುಂ ಪುರುಷಸ್ತು ವಿಸಜ್ಜೇತ ಗುಣಾಭಿಮಾನಿ ಸತದಾ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಕುರುತೆ ವಶಃ ಶುಕ್ಲಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಲೋಹಿತಂ ವಾ ಯಥಾ ಕರ್ಮಾಭಿಜಾಯತೆ. ಯದಾ ವೆನ್ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಸೋಲ್ ಅವಿಜ್ಞಾಯ ಫರ್ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಭಗವಂತಂ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಪರಂ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಗುರುಂ ದಿ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಟರ್ ಪುರುಷ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ತೂ ದೆನ್ ವಿಸಜ್ಜೇತ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಅಪ್ ಗುಣೇಶು ಟು ದ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತೇ ಆಫ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಸ್ವದೃಕ್ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೀ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ ವೆಲ್ಫೇರ್ ಗುಣ ಅಭಿಮಾನಿ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಮೋಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಸಹ ಹಿ ತದಾ ಆಟ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಕರ್ಮಾಣಿ ಫ್ರೂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟೀಸ್ ಕುರುತೆ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಅವಶಃ ಸ್ಪಾಂಟೇನಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಶುಕ್ಲಂ ವೈಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಬ್ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ ಲೋಹಿತಂ ರೆಡ್ ವಾ ಆರ್ ಯಥಾ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಕರ್ಮ ವರ್ಕ್ ಅಭಿಜಾಯತೆ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಬೈ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಬೈ ನೇಚರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಮೈನ್ಯೂಟ್ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಚೂಸ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ ಗುಡ್ ಆರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್. But when he forgets his supreme master, the personality of Godhead, he gives himself up unto the modes of material nature. Being influenced by the modes of material nature, he identifies himself with the body and, for the interest of the body, becomes attached to various activities. Sometimes he is under the influence of the mode of ignorance, sometimes he is under the mode of passion, and sometimes the mode of goodness. The living entity thus gets different types of bodies under the modes of material nature. Purport. These different types of bodies are explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 22. Purusha prakritistho hi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangasya sadasadyo nijanmasu. The living entity in the material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Because of associating with the modes of nature, the living entity gets a variety of bodies from the 8,400,000 forms. It is clearly explained herein that the living entity has a little independence, indicated by the word swadruk, meaning one who can see his own welfare. The living entity's constitutional position is very minute, and he can be misled in his choice. He may choose to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A servant may desire to start his own business and imitate his master, and when he chooses to do so, he may leave the protection of his master. Sometimes he is a failure, and sometimes he is successful. Similarly, the living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, starts his own business to compete with the Lord. There are many competitors out to attain the Lord's position, but to become like the Lord is not at all possible. Thus, there is a great struggle for existence within the material world as different parties try to imitate the Lord. Material bondage is caused by deviation from the service of the Lord and attempts to imitate Him. The Lord is imitated by Mayavadi philosophers who try to become one with the Lord in an artificial way. When the Mayavadi philosophers think of themselves as liberated, they are under the delusion of mental concoction. No one can become one with or equal to God. To imagine this is to continue one's bondage in material existence. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Truvyashcha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yesterday, His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj was so nicely explaining that the body is affected by old age. And it's not that old age affects the hands but not the legs, or the head but not the stomach. It's not like that. Old age affects the entire body. This is like the entire city being attacked by Jara, as Narada Muni was describing. And the distress, Narada Muni said, is adhaya vyadhayascha. Adhaya means mental decrepitude, or mentally becoming weak, or mentally becoming disturbed. Vyadhaya means physically becoming diseased. So mental disease and physical disease, both. Sainika yavanash charaha. Chara means followers. So they attack. They attack the entire body, and they affect the mind and the body and the senses, the organs, the processes by which these organs function. Everything is attacked. For example, when we are younger, it really doesn't matter what we eat. how much we ate, when we ate, what's the quality of food that we ate, fried this, you know, baked that, sugar this, it doesn't matter. Everything gets nicely digested. When we grow old, even to digest one chapati or the extra cup of rice that we may have had becomes such a miserable situation. Oh, I cannot digest, I cannot sleep, I cannot sit, I cannot stand. So like that, and the mental conditions, when we are children, we're not too agitated by, you know, things of the world. Where will my next meal come from? Or all the problems of life need to be solved. Our worries are very simple. Hey, he's not talking to me, so how do I gather my friends to be on the winning side? Or what's my strategy for winning this game that I'm playing, cricket or whatever I'm playing? And that's it. And even if we get chastised by our parents, a couple of minutes later, you know, we cry and it's done, we're moving on. Of course, they all register, and then when we become a little older, they're like, all that little 5-hooded, 10-hooded, 5-million-hooded serpents wake up. But in general, the miseries are not too much. We move on. But when old age strikes, okay, so definition of old age, Prabhupada described, old age means the point or the phase before death. So in one sense, we are aging and becoming old every day. In another sense, there is an indication. The hair becomes grey. Although for some people, the hair becomes grey when they are very young. That's an indicator that, hey, you're going to age very fast. And then certain organs stop functioning, etc. So those are an indication that there is fast aging. Fast aging because there is heavy usage. Mostly wrong usage, but heavy usage of the senses. Overloading the senses. That it fastens the aging process. So Narada Muni is describing that yadatmanam avijnaya, by forgetting Krishna, people think, I know what is good for me. And mostly I know what is good for me, svadruk, meaning seeing for oneself, one makes wrong choices. And by those one wrong choices, what they get is a nice another body. Sometimes not nice another body. But they get a body. So what it means is that when we think we know what is good for ourselves, independent of Krishna, we will get, the best we'll get is another body. When we allow Krishna to move us, to guide us towards our actual welfare, then we will get a spiritual body. So by our own pursuit of our welfare, we are guaranteed another combination of mind and five senses. There is nothing better than that. We cannot get. The only way of understanding the real purpose of svadrik, my own welfare, seeing what's my welfare, is to see it the way Krishna would like us to see it. A few verses ago there was used the jnana chakshu. By seeing life through the instructions as given by Krishna, Narada Muni and the disciplic succession. This is real seeing. Svadrik. This is understanding real welfare. Now I was thinking of two verses from Bhagavad Gita, just to get ourselves, I guess myself and others, I guess for the rest of the day in one sense. It's going to be a very, very hot day. That means we can be easily tired, fatigued, unenthusiastic, So Krishna gives us an instruction, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, Sita Ushna Sukha Dukkhada, Agama Apayino Anityas, Tams Titikshasva Bharata. Just tolerate the heat. Just tolerate the extremities of duality. Because the dualities come and go on their own. And Krishna gives some reward for a person who tolerates like that. Yam hina vyathayanti ete. That's the next verse. Purusham purusharshabha sukadukham samam dhira so amrutatvaya kalpate ashnute. That a person who tolerates dualities, because we're in a mixed condition, we don't have full realization. I am not this body. The soul is always air-conditioned, except the body is feeling hot or cold or something. It's always blissful. While we're coming to that understanding, Krishna says, tolerate. Tolerate the dualities. And a person who tolerates, yam hi na vyathayanti. Vyathayanti means disturbed. A person who's not disturbed by such sukha-dukkham, samam dhira. Now samam dhira does not mean I'm not warm, I'm not hot, I'm sweating but I'm really not sweating. That's not dhira. Sukha dukkha samam dhira means with a sober mind, with an undisturbed mind, one is focused on what is needed to be done. In a general term, what is needed to be done means the work of self-realization. More specifically, we have a list of services and those need to be done. So one who focuses on this has to be done because this is how Krishna will be pleased, Krishna rewards. So amrutatvaya ashnute. Such a person will enjoy, will taste amrita. Amrita means the nectar of eternal life, the nectar of nothing temporary, the nectar of devotional service, the nectar of Krishna's relationship, the nectar of Krishna's reciprocation. All of that's nectar, plus prasadam. We also call amrita the orange drink that Vishwakarma Prabhu whips up on Sunday night. Earlier it used to be tampico, some sugar, water, little pineapple essence. I'm giving out the recipe and we call this nectar. Little ice, nectar. Krishna says that also you will get. Amrita tvaya ashnute. But the real nectar is freedom from that disturbance. Any disturbance that might be there. The real suffering is because that particular disturbance, like in yesterday's verse, adhayo vyadhayashtra, either it is mental disturbance or a physical disturbance. Whatever it is, one experiences the freedom of relief from that suffering, from that disturbance. And our process is not just relief from distress, that is neutrality. While that particular mental or physical distress is absent, one is relishing the joy of serving Krishna. This is definitely there for everyone who somehow or the other makes a determined effort to tolerate. Svadrik, here Krishna uses, Narada Muni uses the phrase, Guneshu Prakrute Svadrik. Svadrik means to be able to see one's own welfare. So this is how we see our welfare. Something's bothering me. Either my mind or my body. It's bothering me. However, can I take my attention to what needs to be done in Krishna's service? While this disturbance might be there, it's there. Sometimes the disturbance might need emergency attention. Like we cut ourselves. Or something happens, there's an emergency. So that emergency can be taken care of, it can be addressed. As soon as it's addressed, we don't dwell on that situation. We move our attention to what needs to be done on the eternal platform. Service to Krishna. Such a person, Amrutatvaya, Ashnute, enjoys the nectar of spiritual happiness. That is definitely there. For different persons, that spiritual happiness manifests differently. For some, it's just like, wow, that mental disturbance, the gorilla, you know, the 500-pound gorilla, my mind, didn't bother me. Or the physical disturbance of my body, it didn't really disturb what I was trying to do. It didn't cause such an impediment. For some, it is completely different. Oh, Krishna was reciprocal. We may even forget what the situation was. And what we experience, how much we experience, depends on the extent of our faith in Krishna. That faith is also connected to this svadruk. Means, how much am I looking out for my welfare in relation to Krishna? That's faith. Right? Faith is this trust in something sublime that simply by serving Krishna, everything else will be taken care of. It will be. Is our faith strong enough for that? So depending on, in proportion to our faith, is the experience of Amrita. In the absence of that, we get, because our faith or this swadruk quality, looking out for our own welfare, that will guide us into a different phase or different species of life. Purusha prakriti sthohi, bhunkte prakriti jan gunan. So there are only two divisions of consciousness. One division of consciousness is that we are a servant of Krishna. The other, which is quite the opposite, because if this doesn't exist, then the other has to exist, is that I'm an enjoyer of matter. There is not a third consciousness that I'm also an enjoyer, I'm also a servant. This consciousness cannot exist. Like yesterday Maharaj was describing, both cannot exist. You cannot be a very good servant of Krishna and very expert at sense gratification. Both cannot be possible. If you're a very good servant of Krishna, he was explaining to us, if you're very good servants of Krishna, then we'll be very bad at sense gratification. If you're very good at sense gratification, we'll be horrible servants of Krishna. The interesting thing is, our consciousness switches very quickly. So sometimes we have this burst of inspiration, especially when there is good association, saintly personality, some Maharaj has come or some nice Vaishnava has come and they inspire us, then, wow, I want to serve Krishna. And equally sometimes we get this burst of enthusiasm to be drawn by our senses because there's great attraction or great calling from one of the sense objects. Hey, Haribol. Doesn't say Haribol, it says something else. So we switch. We're very good at switching. Because we're marginal, right? Very good. So the marginal entity in his trying state or early state switches very quickly between Krishna consciousness, or at least the direction of Krishna consciousness, and sense gratification, like that. It's really not so fast, it's mostly sense gratification once in a while. And the idea of coming to Nishta is that the mind is focused on Krishna. Even when there are impulses on the other side, the switch is not so fast or not so drastic. And even if there is, Krishna says, the person comes back very quickly. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. So what brings us from ignorance to transcendence, or this switch that happens, what helps us, the strength to switch back to Krishna, is our faith and a very quick self-correction. Oh, this is not my welfare. Why am I pursuing things that are not in my welfare? That gives us the strength. So what's necessary is a clear understanding of what is our real welfare. As long as we continue to assume that our welfare exists somewhere in the material realm, then we are wrongly guided, or we are misguided. And what helps, what hurts us, is where we place our convictions. And where we place our convictions comes from what we are absorbed in. When we are absorbed in matter, for example, oh, look at them. They are studying so nicely. They are having these nice jobs. They are earning so much money. They are having all these fancy or nice facilities for a comfortable life. Or, oh, look at them, they are helping others this way very nicely. As we absorb ourselves in those thoughts, our convictions become stronger. So remember, the operating principle is still learn to tolerate. So even if our attention goes, the switch back needs to happen quickly. I'm just appreciating the, like this morning we were hearing on the altar, we were appreciating the phantasmagoria. We appreciating akasha pushpayate, flowers in the sky. Illusion. That's so nice. That understanding is necessary. That conviction is necessary to switch back. That although life may not look, you know, fancy or rosy, it is still the right path. It is still the track that I should follow for my eternal welfare. Otherwise, Krishna Prabhupada says, we are trying to be, perhaps we are opening our own businesses to become God. Means that we are in this world deciding that I control everything. I can control my happiness. I can control the minimizing of my distress. I can control my pleasure, how much I want, and I can get as much as I want. This is God project. And that comes from swadruk, or contaminated sense of my welfare. So when Prabhupada says, a servant may desire to start his own business and imitate his master, and when he chooses to do so, he may leave the protection of his master. Sometimes he's a failure, and sometimes he's successful. Most business people like this because, hey, it's a speculative business. Sometimes you fail, sometimes you win. This is just the nature of things out there. So what's wrong? It's a very convincing idea. So what's wrong? The nature of win and loss, according to mathematics, is 50% probability anyway. If you win, you have to lose. So either you win or you lose. So what's wrong? Prabhupada saying, on the other hand, a devotee never loses. There's always a winning. Wouldn't you rather bet on that? Always winning? Even when there is seemingly loss, there is a win. But how is that possible? Because Krishna never loses. And those who are on the side of Krishna, or those who want Krishna on their side, never lose. So then the question is, what are we losing? Somebody may see that, whoa, they're losing their money, they're losing their comforts, that's a loss. For a devotee, that's a gain. So it's all a matter of vision. Svadruk. So what is necessary is not the changing of circumstance, but the correction of vision. Once the vision gets corrected, everything looks nice. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness is our own way, the process is to correct our vision of things, of life, of happiness, of the pursuit of happiness. And that correction of vision comes from association, hearing in that association. Until then, we'll have wrong conceptions or slightly misguided conceptions. Slightly misguided conception means karma yoga. Bad conception, wrong conception means just following the mind. Today the mind says, do this, I follow the mind. Tomorrow the mind says, not this, do that, I follow that. Higher than that, slightly misguided, but in the overall direction, is karma yoga. Do what you like, once in a while offer something to Krishna. Oh, that's not bad. Most people like that. Bhakti is, I'll just digress for a moment, in physics, there's always a reference to a measurement. And in measurement, there are two features. One is called precision, and the other is called accuracy. So if you're designing a gun or some ballistic thing, you want to make sure that it's not only precise, but it's also accurate. For example, if that's my target, and I've designed this gun or something, and I shoot, but the bullet goes about 10 feet away, and every time I shoot, it still keeps going 10 feet away. So the gun's precise, it's just not accurate. Correct? So karma yoga is like that. Maybe precise. Oh, you're serving Krishna. This is for Vishnu. It's not accurate. That's still not hitting the target. Directionally, maybe okay. Even with jnana, Prabhupada saying, even with knowledge, one may have proper knowledge. Oh, I am not this body. That's precise knowledge. But it's not accurate. Because one might think, I am God. Aham. What's that? Soham. Aham Brahmasmi is a correct conclusion. No doubt. But Prabhupada says that there is something called Parabrahman as well. Therefore, the accurate and precise conclusion is Jivera Swarup Hai Nityera Krishnadas. That's our correct identity. And in that correct identity, Amrutam Ashnate, all the nectar is packed in that. And it's been given to us. Can you please unpack it for yourself? And oh, I don't know how to unpack it. Sure, we'll unpack it for you. Here, take it. Well, I don't know how to take it. We'll feed it to you. Here. Well, I don't know how to chew. Don't worry, we'll chew it. Can you just swallow? You know, it's so difficult. Even swallowing is so difficult. Yeah, well, all right. Then this punarmushika bhava. You struggle. So it's easy in the sense that it requires a correction of vision. And it's difficult in the sense that it requires a correction of vision. Oh, why is it so difficult? Like, and that's the switch that keeps happening for us. When the switch happens in such a way that we are convinced and stick to the path of devotional service, then we have eternal life. Otherwise, another body, another set of senses, another frame of mind, and suffering. One more lifetime of suffering, another lifetime of suffering, and suffering, and continuous suffering. Any comments, questions? Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Then Siddharth.
And Prabodhananda Saraswati, in this book, Chaitanya Chandramrita, he makes a statement, Sri Bhakti Marga Iha Kantaka Kotiruda, that the path of bhakti in the age of Kali Yuga is shrouded with millions of thorns. So that was very discouraging. My question is on the Swadrik point you were describing. So Swadrik, you were explaining, means we come to devotional service and we stick to devotional service in proportion to our faith and, you know, guru and sadhus and so on, shastras, then we continue on the path. I was wondering, even on the path of devotional service, there's so much confusion there. And a lot of the confusion comes from varying authorities or varying persons who are authorities or accepted as authorities in devotional line. And one gets confused about what is his swadrik on the path of devotional service. And oftentimes, in my experience, I'm speaking from personal experience, the various authorities seem to have a very dismissive, my perception of it seems to have a very dismissive statements about other types of, let's say, emphasis in devotional service.
Yeah,
you get totally bewildered,
right,
and discouraged also, because, I mean, in my own experience, when I first joined devotional service, it was like, definitely I'm going back to God. This isn't going to be cakewalk. And then after, you know, 5-6 years, it's like, am I going back to Godhead? And then almost, you know, 10 years I've been around,
I'm definitely not
back to Godhead. So even on the path of, I was wondering if you can give some encouragement in this type of dilemma. I think it might be...
The encouragement is, yes, I'm definitely not going back to Godhead. Just looking at the effort I'm putting in. The encouragement is, well, Krishna will take care. The encouragement is, Prabhupada has assured us. Prabhupada has assured us, the basic minimum, if you can do, chant your rounds and follow. If you can do the basic minimum, Prabhupada said, I will take care. We don't just rely on, okay, I just do my basic minimum, Prabhupada will take care, which he will. What it means is that we have to do at least that. So there is encouragement. Another way we get encouraged is by looking at the lives of devotees that may pass. The lives of devotees, I'm right now thinking Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and so many other Vaishnavas. Some are, you know, shining star Vaishnavas, some are obscure stars. Regardless, star is a star. And there have been examples and pastimes of how Krishna comes at the right moment, he comes. So that's encouragement. That's definitely encouragement. The discouraging part is, you know, our own weakness or not fully sturdy. Yeah, we would like to. The only thing that keeps us alive is sincerity. The way to counteract weakness is sincerity. Because senses are too strong, our determination may be weak, whatever is the case, it's sincerity that keeps us going. Even if we get beat up, oh, I made a wrong judgment and I fell into sense gratification. Like Maharaj was explaining yesterday, competition of who eats the maximum number of gulab jamuns. Heavy, oh, 50 gulab jamuns or something, he said. Or some other way, you know, I spoke something. I followed into something that was very unhealthy for me, for my Krishna consciousness. The correcting factor is sincerity. Let me come back. That's what Krishna describes in 9th chapter, right? Come back. My dear Krishna, I'm rascal number one. But outside the shelter of your lotus feet, there is nothing else. And I keep forgetting that. And this is my foolishness, that I keep forgetting that, but I keep coming back to your lotus feet. Please. This time I learnt my lesson. That's our only hope. Hey, Krishna is not going to suddenly say, oh, yeah, yeah, don't worry, I'll take you back to garden. But that's our hope. I mean, the alternative is even worse, right? That much we're convinced. We may not be convinced that the golden swan will fly in and the Vishnu Dutas will get down and say, Prabhu. I mean, that happens for Dhruva Maharaj, and it's great, and that's nice. And we are hoping that will happen for us as well. But something we're definitely convinced, that if we walk away from Prabhupada's shelter and become one of the persons of the world, we're going to have nice black eye, swollen jaws, stumped nose, bleeding face. All of that's definitely going to happen. That much we're convinced. That is, I'm convinced. So better to stay. Even if I make mistakes, let's stay here. This is definitely happier place. Now, within this happy place, one Vaishnava says this, another Vaishnava says that. I was hearing, I don't want to say it, but just this past weekend, you know, one Vaishnava says, this is the way, it would be very nice to serve Krishna. And 2 days later, this will be the very nice way to serve. And both are convincing arguments. Alright, Jai. Both are right. We still operate on duality. One is right, other has to be wrong. Get out of that too. This is right. That's also right. Wonderful. Pizza versus pakoras. If you offer pakoras to Krishna, this is very nice. If you offer pizza to Krishna, that's also very nice. Ah. Traditional versus modern, this versus that. That will continue. The variety is still there. It's the adjustment, not that you don't have it, I'm now speaking in general. It's the adjustment to accommodate variety is what requires spiritual strength or a little bit of maturity. There is variety there is variety here. That variety is illusory, this variety is ecstatic or real or real. Real. The problem many have, is cannot make a distinction between that variety and this variety. Or utopian views or something, ideological views. Everything should be perfect. Look at the devotees. My God, Krishna says this, look at how they're living. Ideals, ideological, idealistic ideas. Hiranandamurti Maharaj wrote a very nice paper, the difference between ideal Krishna conscious and real Krishna consciousness. Because that's where sadhana bhakti fits in. So very nicely he wrote. Have you read that? Hiranandamurti Maharaj. I should have it in my old computer somewhere. Okay. No conclusion, just saying something. Siddhartha was waiting.
My question was actually about gulab jamun.
Your question was about gulab jamun? Like recipe or how to eat or how many to eat in a day? Or what was the question? Give him the mic, it's about gulab jamuns.
So, I
I'm not sure if I completely understood well Maharaj's example yesterday, because for me, I feel that there is a need to distinguish between sense gratification, the principle of yuktahara viharasya, because otherwise thinking that as sense gratification would make us, might make me, or to go to the other example. The reason why that example struck to me was because like 3 years ago, I think, Radhanand Maharaj was doing an initiation ceremony and Vaisheshika was presiding it.
And he speaks like Radhanath Maharaj was doing what?
Was doing an initiation ceremony and Vaisheshika Prabhu was presiding it as a priest, and after that there was a gulab jamun competition between them.
Okay.
So we were all actually feeling very joyful. I was loading gulab jamuns and devotees were running and giving it to them and they're finishing it at jet speed. So went on for several.
Who are we talking about, first of all?
No, I'm saying in general, how do we. I'm just saying that just because. So I'm not criticizing really. I'm saying that sometimes the same thing could be a recreation, but the same thing could also be sense gratification. So how do we understand the?
Well, recreation is sense gratification.
Yukta, ahara, vihara.
The operative word there is yukta, not ahara and vihara. Yukta means in relation to, or guided or regulated by authority and scripture, then it's all right. The problem comes because we forget yukta and we only remember ahara, vihara. We're talking about yukta vairagya very soon, right? That's the problem. Even vairagya without yukta, vairagya is dangerous or not complete. Real renunciation, right? This is Rupa Goswami's teaching. Renunciation which is not in relation to Krishna, phalgu, is false renunciation. Renunciation that seems like sense gratification in relation to Krishna is real renunciation. So it's the vision that needs to be changed. So a person can have 50 gulab jamuns. It is in the spirit of some service as inspiration to devotees, whatever. Versus 50 gulab jamuns. Ah! There's another example. There was one devotee during Prabhupada's time who didn't have the strength of renunciation. She said, I'm going to fast nirjala for Ekadashi. And he did that one time, second time, and something, and the devotees couldn't find the devotee. It's like, where is this Prabhu? They searched for him all over. You know where they found him?
Kitchen.
Not only kitchen, they found him in the walk-in cooler with his Brahmin thread. He had offered everything and he was eating it, eating the bhoga away straight on an Ekadashi day. False renunciation without the strength. So our renunciation is, if I cannot do that, my strength is, well, I'll eat no grains and beans, but I'll eat something so that I can continue my service. That is yukta ahara vihara. Yukta is the operative word there. Even in Chaitanya, of course, we're not talking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ordinary devotee, but he took that role. Normal times, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't eat much. But when he used to go to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Advaita Acharya, they would serve him mountains of food. In Jagannath Puri, there's the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Lord Chaitanya is invited for lunch. And Advaita Acharya lays out this big leaf and so many varieties of preparations, and he makes like a mound of each on his plate. So Lord Chaitanya says, how do you think I can eat all this? He says, right there in Jagannath temple, you're eating 56 times and eating such quantities. Come on, you can eat this. He said, oh, it's so difficult to argue with you. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate the different preparations, and for each preparation he left so much behind, just a little. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him, why are you leaving these behind? He said, that is just to show you that I've eaten that preparation. Because if I eat it completely, you will say, that sabji you haven't even eaten. and you'll serve more. This is to just show you that I've eaten this preparation. So he little by little he kept it, just as a demonstration. So no, 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 what is this? You can eat more. So for satisfaction of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he can eat. Yeah, and we should be careful that I'm eating gulab jamuns for Krishna's satisfaction. Yesterday Maharaj said, in our case, we should abstain. Not dwell or delve into, I know yukta vairagya very well. We should not dwell into it. Abstinence is better, especially in such things.
Hare Krishna.
Hey, Bhava.
So I have one comment and
okay.
One question.
Okay.
The comment is, I was hearing a lecture from Janmashtami Prabhu in Mayapur, and this topic came up of what is required to go back to Godhead. And he mentioned a third thing in addition to chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles.
Yeah, it's work in progress. But, yeah, I won't prolong it. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
That's your meditation, isn't it?